American nature writer John Burroughs once wrote, "I was born with a chronic anxiety about the weather." That chronic anxiety befalls legions of gardeners every winter. Stymied by bad weather, anxious about the fate of their plants, they're reduced in status to armchair gardeners. Morning Edition begins a month-long series designed for the winter-weary gardener. The first stop is a bookstore in Portland, Oregon, and the guide is NPR's Ketzel Levine.
Portland has recently come off of 34 consecutive days of rain. Anyone wondering where the gardeners are would do well to look in Powell's. This city of books has 4,500 separate gardening titles, and frankly, I get a little anxious here. But I am curious about where gardeners lose themselves when they can't be in the garden. So I brought three passionate, if not obsessed, plant lovers with me who are suckers for a good book. The first is Nancy Goldman, who has a knack for garden art. Give her the remains of a charred bicycle, and she'll turn it into a trellis for grapes. Not surprisingly, the book in Nancy's hands is called Garden Junk.
Junk is art.
All right, well, show me a little something from Garden Junk.
Well, there's a beautiful weathered top to a table, an old tin table, and it's rusty, and I just think that's gorgeous, and you never have to paint it. Actually, it gets better with age. Here's a row of wonderful old metal lawn chairs. I mean, look at the patina on those. Who wouldn't want those in their garden?
Thing is, if you sit on one of those, they're likely to just cave right under you.
But you don't sit in them. The great thing about garden art that's junk is it disappears, it disintegrates, and then you can put new stuff in.
The stuff could be garden junk, or better yet, more plants. The focus of Nancy's second book, Dream Plants for the Natural Garden. In it are grasses, coneflowers, all sorts of blousy perennials that appeal to her sense of play, as does the author's approach.
He divides the plants in interesting ways. For instance, there's a section on tough perennials, playful plants, and soap bubbles. And some of the examples, here's a wonderful poppy. So it just is going to be a pop of color and shape and movement.
All right, well, let me go check out some other gardening fanatics, although none like yourself, and let me see what else is getting pulled off the shelf.
Great.
I see here Vern Nelson, one of Portland's most esteemed vegetable gardeners. Not exactly a surprise to see you here. Thanks for coming.
Good morning.
What are you up to in these stacks?
Well, since I suffer from gardener's dementia, it doesn't really matter. I find books that I love wherever I go. I have a few.
While you're looking through the stack, tell me what gardener's dementia is.
If the parties you end up at tend to be parties where the most popular thing to talk about is your compost, you probably suffer from gardener's dementia.
Do you find yourself at parties like that?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Truth be told, I too frequent those plant nerd parties. They're perfectly civil affairs. But much like Vern's visit to Powell's, the point is to score new plants.
When I go to a bookstore, I'm looking for books that will help me to identify plants I'm not familiar with that are edible, or new ways of gardening where I can use such plants. And here's a book called Forest Gardening. I don't have forest exactly in my garden, but I do have areas that mimic a bit of that. And as my trees get bigger, as they do in any garden, you're going to have more of those dappled sun areas where this book would be valuable.
Actually, I think a lot of people would be surprised that they could grow edible food in a shady landscape.
Lots of things. I'll give you some examples. Hostas, the common garden hosta, as those leaves unfurl in the center before they spread out, they're very good for salads.
A little wiser about edible plants, I now head for trees and shrubs, where I find nurseryman Paul Bonine dwarfed by a dizzying selection of books. I'm anxious just looking at all these choices, but Paul seems strangely out of body, lost in an illustrated encyclopedia of a vine.
That's a really cool new clematis book. That's probably one of the best garden books to come out in years.
Well, this is all about one genus, right? The vine clematis.
Just the genus clematis. I only have two in my garden, but now I feel like I have a lot more if I have this book.
You don't even have to grow them?
Oh, no. That's the point of garden books. That makes things so cool. If you have it in a book someplace and you think of the plant, you can always go look at the book and think what a cool plant that is.
What, just fantasize the plant that you'd like to see there rather than kill it 100 times?
I think that's about 90% of gardening is fantasizing what you could grow and what you could possibly do. And that's why garden people are so into books, and they always have so many books.
You're a fairly sophisticated gardener. Are you easily seduced by eye candy?
Yeah. It's about eye candy. It's all about aesthetics. I see these color pictures, and I think it's tied directly into serotonin. I think it's like an addiction where you have to keep feeding it with images and aesthetics to keep it real.
It's a scary thought, all those idle gardeners lurking in bookstores across America. Then again, if you're looking for advice or perhaps a support group, you know where to find us. With Paul Bonine, Vern Nelson, and Nancy Goldman at Powell's Bookstore, I'm Ketzel Levine.
There's like a picture of Patty's Plum copy in here, though, that makes people just crazy.
Oh yeah.
Look at that.
I show that to people and they go,
crazy.
But that's almost pumped up too much.
There's more information about the books discussed and tips about buying garden books on Ketzel's website, Talking Plants at npr.org. Next week on The Armchair Gardener, authors Alan Gerganis and Michael Pollan reintroduce a classic American gardening book that's been out of print for a century.